Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbarrib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your saber calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, parallel experiences create a common bond between refugees and First Nation people living in Australia, according to the groundbreaking new research released today by non-profit SSI and Western Sydney University. This shared bond makes refugees and First Nation communities natural allies in progressing reconciliation and in steps towards the proposed voice to Parliament. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Madison Shakespeare, First Nation researcher, and also former refugee, Dor Kadij Aki. A very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Madison. Hello. Dor, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. We'd like to ask Mob, who your Mob, where you're from. So who's Madison Shakespeare?
Oh, proudly, well, I've got Mob from a couple of different areas, proudly identifying Gadigal traditional owner, and yes. I'm actually standing on the edge of Bengal and Gadigal country as we yarn today.
Good, beautiful, fantastic, lovely footprint. Dor Kadij Aki, who your Mob, where you from? Former refugee. Tell us your story,
yeah,
please.
Dor Akechechek, former refugee from South Sudan, and I'm with SSI, Settlement Services International, and can I acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation where I am based now.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. So we're talking about a new, new research, Madison, highlights common bond between refugees and Australia's First Nation. I'm thinking, do you think this is the case of the bond because of First Nation people respecting First Nation people?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. And just to give you a very, very quick background, Trevor, I mean, this research, it was conducted over about a 12-month period and conducted right down the east coast, pretty much, of Australia. And the shared common experiences of First Nation peoples really came out of that. Yes. What was really interesting, though, was the fact that, you know, we hadn't read and we couldn't find a great deal before engaging in the research in terms of Indigenous peoples from overseas, from other countries. So, yeah, and so this certainly, the yarning workshops gave us an opportunity to be able to share and find out about those common experiences.
Well, I'm talking, you could say black on black. When you're talking about somebody who's First Nation from another country, coming to another a country to engage with the First Nation people of that country, you can't beat that.
Have we lost you?
You there?
You there?
I lost Dor. Can you hear me, Madison? No. I'll just try again, see if we get you guys. You there? Hello, can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
He's cut out from Cairns.
Yeah. We'll try and get him back. We have Madison Shakespeare, who's a First Nation researcher, for this bond between refugees and Australia's First Nation peoples. That's the conversation we're having. And at the table also, we have a former refugee, and that's Dor Kadij Aki. And so we try and get him back to continue that conversation at Yarn. But stay tuned, your daily program, National Talk Black. On the line. Hey, good morning, guys. You there? Got me?
Yeah, good morning.
Thank you very much. So, look, very important conversation. Refugees reaching out to First Nation people for permission and acceptance, would that be the case? As I said, when you're talking black on black, there's that respect of another man's country, yes?
Yes, I would agree.
Yes.
And it's mainly on the fact that there are shared histories as well.
Yes.
Histories of colonialism,
yep.
Displacement, stigmatization and, you know, racialization, and the fact that newcomers here, refugees, find allyship against that oppression with their First Nation people. And it's also about understanding the cultural safety and the continuity of that tradition that we bring from different countries as we settle here. So to be able to give respect to the owners, those who have cared for the land and looked after the land over 60,000 years, is something that is deeply acknowledged and respected, and also we remain humble and considerate of that.
Fantastic. Thank you, Dor. And is what I'm thinking precisely, when you look at it, for all refugees, when communication with the Australian government, First Nation people have got to be at the table in regard to that discussion, don't you think?
I do think that it is important that they are at the table and that every voice that has experienced under, you know, privileged and has been silenced before needs to have their voice heard in decisions that affect them.
Yes.
So we are living in 2023.
Exactly.
And 21st every century. Other six prime ministers in the past, whether be it from either side of politics, they have committed themselves and publicly come out to say that we need to have a voice. So
exactly.
Now is the time.
Yes,
indeed.
Exactly.
I completely concur.
Thank you, Madison.
Completely agree with you, Doc.
Yeah, fantastic. Absolutely. Madison, when you look at the, can you tell us the process in regards to communication between First Nation people and refugees? Has this always been, or has it just started, or it hasn't been existent as such?
You cut out a little bit, Trevor. Can I just ask you a question again?
Yeah, I'm just talking about the process in regards to communication between First Nation people and refugees. Has this always been the case?
Well, certainly, and this is that's a really difficult question to answer in many respects, because I think certainly when living in specific areas, so you know, in different regions, you know, there's been really beneficial ongoing you know, communication and allyship, actually a deep allyship in many instances. But certainly in this particular, you know, sort of context, my experiences have really been formed over the last 12 months, sort of going and having yarn workshops with refugee peoples on country. So looking at place-based specific custodianship of country, so how we can together care for country, and learning about country, because, you know, Australia is you know, a new home for many, many people. But what does that mean? Because, you know, certainly one thing I found, every refugee person across five workshops that I convened, everybody wanted to know how to care for country. They wanted to know more about place-based practices. They wanted to know more about history.
Good.
And so I think that there's, absolutely, there's a deep respect.
When you look at the fundamentals, I mean, if you come to my house, well, you're going to have my permission first. Let's sit and have a cup of tea and have a yarn if you're going to be renting a room off me, sort of thing, you know, whatever case may be. So if you look at the bigger picture, refugees come to this country, yarning to the government, but okay, black people, First Nation people of this country should be at the table.
Totally. And certainly something that's also sort of come out of today's forum, because we had an opportunity for community elders to yarn together with with professionals, but also with representatives across different refugee communities. So it's been the most enriching, time for this research. You know, just before the referendum, one thing that's really come to the fore also is that there is a deep allyship and there's a deep respect for actually, you know, having us as First Nation peoples, rightfully, you know, provide opinion and inform decisions through our lived learned experiences and our knowledges and our histories, in terms of our self-determination, you know, and our future. So,
exactly.
I mean, it's certainly pertinent, and you know, it's interesting because it's deeply understood. It seems to be deeply understood by what came out of the yarning early this morning, in terms of, you know, there's actually no question.
Exactly.
You know, nobody is questioning it in terms of Yeah, it's that deep understanding of why it's necessary. Yeah.
Dor, back to you. And in that discussion, when refugees are communicating with First Nation people and the bond is becoming stronger, well, there also creates a nice platform for respect of the country and the First Nation people. And then if given the tick of approval, so to speak, that they do live here, refugees become Australians as such, then they will always respect First Nation people and the country they're on in regarding not committing crime, paying their taxes, and ticking all the boxes as Australians. Yes?
Indeed. And that kind of sense of belonging that's based on Australianism has to be based on the fact that we live on a country that is belonging to the First Nation people.
Yes.
And so it has to start with a connection to land. The Yarn Circle has kind of encouraged newcomers to then connect with that from the environmental sense, connecting with the nature, but also from a spiritual sense, connecting deeply with ancestors who own this land and the histories that have preceded us to these days. And so it then created a deep sense of cultural exchange and you know, practices that are very much respectful, reciprocal relationships. And then from there, it uncovered many, many similarities, like the food is quite diverse.
Yeah.
The people arriving from different nations are quite diverse. So is the Aboriginal people prior to, you know, the white settlers. They were diverse and still diverse today. And so it created this very natural alignment.
Natural alignment, I like that, exactly, yes.
Yeah.
But I said the similarities and the culture, we are connected in more ways than one, and that's why you can't be black on black. It's great to be at the table with refugees of the First Nation people and the communication, the bond. Madison, thank you. Dor, thank you. I think it's a great concept and idea. This should continue, but I think the push for having First Nation people at the table in regarding refugees applying for residencies, First Nation people need to be at the table from this country, yes.
Absolutely, and really, you know, integrally, like, it needs to be, when we're looking at the many sort of education processes that are involved in terms of citizenship, there need to be not just theoretical, you know, sort of observations put in place of First Nation peoples, but we need to be up there yarning with, working with, and in a sense, mentoring new Australians looking after country. And
yes.
And that sort of collaboration, and it must be First Nation led. It can't be something that's taught in a textbook, because most textbooks don't actually contain our histories.
Sure, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
They're white histories.
But if that mechanism was put in place, when you're eye to eye looking into an elder, and they're giving you permission to come to this country and stay here and abide by the rules, I think that gives you a bit of meat on the bone in regarding that respect and that endearment and to live here and respect the rules and laws.
And,
you know, it just meant it,
also,
doesn't it?
And walking on country, walking on country and connecting with country. And then ancestors, they'll take over and do the rest.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
They're very wise. And as I was saying, sort of, you know, through this research, you know, we have common ground, and that common ground is country.
Exactly.
You know?
And I think, Dor, you'd understand,
thank
too.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
No, that's fine. And I just
thank you. And I think the four things that are integral to that, as my final questions, are that we explore cultures of the First Nation.
Yes.
We immerse in the natural environment of the First Nation.
Mm.
We absorb the spiritual connection, and we elevate the political aspects of the First Nation people.
Beautiful. And I'm just thinking, black on black, Dor, you would understand, if you muck up on country, you may get a spear in the leg. You know that.
Oh, no, that's getting pretty deadly in a bad way.
Yeah, well, that's right, exactly. Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about, respecting on country. Respecting on country, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was sharing earlier in the forum about the stories that I shared with a black brother.
Yes.
My first encounter with a First Nation person when I was going through high school.
Yes.
And Jake will call me my brother. Let's have a yarn. And we'll talk about those histories.
Yes.
The struggles, the connections to the country and spirit. And I deeply respect
Thank
that.
Thank you.
And
that's right, brother.
It gave me a lot of knowledge.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Wonderful.
Well, you gave me a lot of knowledge. Good yarning with you both.
Thank you so much, I call you my brother.
Madison, my sister. Thank you very much.
Looking forward to community connecting with you and yes. hearing our story. But have a lovely morning.
Take care. All the best. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Beautiful yarn, deadly yarn there. Madison Shakespeare, First Nation sister, and she's a First Nation researcher on regarding the highlighting the common bond between refugees and Australia's First Nation people. And look, First Nation people should be at the table in regard to refugees coming to this country. Of course, it's our country. And then yarn with Dor Achik. He's a former refugee, and he's at a part of the conversation as well. A beautiful conversation, and look, have you say, you mob. Yarn up strong, add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Thinking about your body next to mine, butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember.
Hey, you mob, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Always a light, always get on your mouth. It's me, Bush Takabanji, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Jingida bali naji, abumijana ji, abun mindi gai, bagat bara naji, bagat bara naji. Jingida bali naji, abumijana ji, abun mindi gai, bagat bara naji.
Over 60,000 years we've been in this place. Elders have told stories of seeing the winds change. Now it's a new world of suffering and pain. It's a wonder that I'm here to rap about it today. Is my mindset straight to get ready for it mentally? Cause life was so hard in the 21st century. Pushed to the brink with tax and Centrelink. A forced lifestyle, I won't let them overthink. Don't let them overdrink, cause they know how we get wild. Reminiscing on how we used to do on the K-side. Sometimes I sit and think about the old days. But I wouldn't have my fam, so now to me it was an old face. It's hard to see the light when you're low paid. I took a job as a father, now I'm shining like a gold chain. I laid tracks like a soul train. I'ma pave the way for the young and old, okay, mama. Yeah. I walk a mile on this fine line, projecting light inside a tomb like canaries in a coal mine. Holding down in these low times, trying to provide for my family, but these devils try to co-sign. You feel the levels of these dope rhymes, receive the knowledge of this game through the pain, watch your hope rise. Clear the air, smoke will subside. Ain't playing, it's necessary for canaries in the coal mine. My line is strong, my people stood proud. I found my footprints on ancestors' trade routes. They've given me the strength, so I see without a doubt how they always stayed real. We never made it. I was walking to a crossroad of lost souls. Mike by my side, I had to pay toll. Had to show my John Boo to the right road. Damn near had to strap up and go cold. But now I see will they be backing up culture without going digital? We need more originals, classic elders, spiritual. Seen on TV, no ridicule. And black, I see life as cynical. But if you get over that bridge, we can live life imperial, kid. Without hate in our heart, time for making a start. I'm down for shaping the art of building faith in this ground. Let's go. I walk a mile on this fine line, projecting light inside a tomb like canaries in a coal mine. Hold you down in these low times, trying to provide for my family, but these devils try to co-sign. You feel the levels of these dope rhymes, receive the knowledge of this game through the pain, watch your hope rise. Clear the air, smoke will subside. And claim is necessary for canaries in the coal mine.
Program National Talk Black. Have you saying Yan Up Strong? 1-800-422-416. Next segment we got is Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pekoni, IGA, Brinsmead and Edmonton. They give us a box of fruit here once a week. Bummer Bipper Media, healthy living, healthy lifestyle, the message we deliver. So chewing on a Mars bar, then chew on an apple or an orange. There you go. Have you say mangoes very soon. That's around the corner, Christmas. And look, we got Which Way Yarning, and proudly sponsored, like I said, by IGA, but also Edmonton Police are at the table. And we've got Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay back in the hot seat. And his bodyguard, Steve Grant, PLO, and they brought deadly sister, Bridie Egan, second-year constable. A very good morning. How are you all?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor.
Morning, yes.
G'day, Trev.
Yes. And
morning.
Bridie, good morning. How are you, Bridie?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. You're pretty than these two boys. Let me talk with you. First cab rank. Bridie Egan, second-year constable.
Yeah.
Where do you stem from?
I'm from Tablelands.
Oh, hillbilly girl.
Yeah.
Okay. And you did your training for police force where?
I trained at the Townsville Academy.
Okay, yep.
I think it was 21, 22.
21. Yep, second year, where did you do your first year as a
first
constable?
First year in Innisfail.
Innisfail, okay, cool. Big shout out, Innisfail Mob.
Yeah.
And then now here at Edmonton.
Yep.
Sword Light, come over to Edmonton from Tableland. Senior Sergeant Glenn Delise from Tableland. So you're going for his job, aren't you?
Following in my footsteps.
Put you in that spot. Glenn, how you going? Good
Very
to
well.
See you, brother.
Yeah, good to be back in the seat.
Yeah, so you was up at...
I've spent 7 weeks up at Bamaga. Bamaga yes. Station as the officer in charge up in that neck of the woods.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, and enjoyed it thoroughly.
Good.
Very pretty place.
It is a pretty place.
Yeah.
Are you a fisherman?
Mate, I am. My problems were I fished the whole time I was up there. And then last week my son came up there and he hooked the barra, so I caught nothing.
Okay.
He got an 84-centimetre barrel.
Maybe you shouldn't expose that on radio.
No.
National.
Yeah.
There it is, brother.
No, look, my soul's just laid out on the ground at that moment when I saw him hook it. So, yeah. But look,
Did he give it to you?
Yeah. Mate, that's a good station up there. It's,
yes.
It's, you know, it's it has some issues there. And while I was there, we had that mayor summit.
Okay.
And a lot of those issues were raised by Mayor Pat Yusia.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, I know you spoke about the Mayor Summit
on
a previous program here, but
we did, yes.
You know, that's the whole purpose of it is that our communities get that one-on-one voice with the commissioner, and if there's any issues in those stations, that you know, we get an opportunity to hear it straight from them, and
sure.
then they can we go back and try and rectify it and keep the community happy.
And your first week there, we did give you a call. We had an interview here on National Talk Black, and you introduced two of the PLOs up there.
Yep.
That was a good yarn.
Yep. Tamina Williams and Aaron Benowell.
Big shout out, yes.
Great PLOs from the north, yep.
Good.
Yeah.
And how many PLOs on board?
So there's only the two.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. There's only the two, and, you know, they do their job very well in that community. So, you know, yeah, great reflection.
And you relieved
the
sergeant that was up there. Was it a holiday thing or is
no?
There a position available?
Look, that is, and I'm not talking out of shelf here, but
look,
that is one of the problems with the station was that they have had a long standing vacancy there, and so I was up there for the 7 weeks, but the position's been sort of vacated for a long time and relieved by different officers. So, and look, a lot of communities like to own their police and know their police very well. And so the difficulty there is that when you've got different police coming in, they've got different ideas.
That sets the apple cart, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And the community, they want someone that they can go to and know. So
build relationships.
Yep. And look, from that summit, the Bamaga OIC's position's been advertised last week
on
the Gazette. So,
yep.
Look, they'll very shortly have a substantive.
So, how does that work? A sergeant will apply for the job, or could you have like a corporal apply for the job to become a sergeant?
No, so you'll have a sergeant apply because it's a senior sergeant position.
Yes.
So, you can have a sergeant, or a senior sergeant can apply for the position.
Okay,
so,
right, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. So, look, that once that leadership is established in that station, it's going to run very well.
Builds a strong foundation, doesn't it?
Yeah. And look, part of me going up there is getting to know staff from the Cape.
Yes.
I want to always attract good staff to my station, but also check those places out. So while I was there, one of our first years, Lockie Steedon, he's been on this program.
Mm.
He made the decision that for his second year that would be his number one choice. And on the 16th of this month, he will land his boots there.
He's got the job then.
Yep.
Virtually.
Yep.
So it's been covered then.
Yep. So he's going up there to fill a constable position. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Steve, how you going, my brother?
Morning, Trevor. How are
morning,
you?
Morning. Oh, it's a good brother. Let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, proud Jebal Murray from the tropics of the Cardinal Tully area, Gumball capital of Australia, which is rain.
Wet country, bro.
Wet country, indeed.
Get that snorkel in your mouth so you can understand what you're saying, brother. Yeah, fantastic. Look, it's great to see. I think I've asked this question before. PLO, Police Liaison Officers, are they only in Queensland?
Gee, now you've put me on the spot.
Yeah.
Look, I would believe that they were right across this country because they're so valuable to it.
So, New South Wales, they call them ALOs.
ALOs?
Yes.
That's New South Wales?
Yes.
And what's the acronym for that, ALO?
Aboriginal Liaison Officer, I believe.
Okay, right, yep, sure.
And I think the Territory's got them, far as I know.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure...
I think it's a fantastic thing.
Mm.
It's a bridge builder. It's communication. It's cultural awareness, front and centre.
Yeah, it ticks a few boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. Were you at that conference that happened here in Cairns?
So I come down for the conference.
The Mayor's conference,
Yep, so it went over 2 days. And each mayor got their individual time with the commissioner and the deputies.
Sure.
And the officer in charge of that station and the inspector, the supervising inspector.
Well, it's not one size fits all.
No.
Because you have a problem in a community, it's not the same problem in other communities.
Exactly.
So you've got to have mayors there and they can talk to you about their community, and then you work at a solution together to make it all good, don't
you? Yeah. And like I say, like that's 4 weeks ago, I suppose, now, and already a lot of those things that have been raised have already been rectified. So,
yes.
Yeah, it'll be wait till next year's Mayor's Summit and see what we, what else we can improve.
Good. And the other thing is also, it's also an election year for the local council.
Yeah, okay.
So those mayors.
Maybe stepping down?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's right, you know. Maybe a change at the post. Changing guards at the post, maybe. But like I said, if we've got the same person, and that's good relationship in regard to the having a sergeant there.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, they've got a go-to.
Exactly.
Yep.
We're dealing with people, not product.
Yeah.
Brody, second year constable, what happens here? I mean, what's your future visions? Do you want to become a sergeant like this man here, or what's your vision?
My vision, I think I'll take it as it comes. Okay. But I was talking earlier saying that I might look into going into CPIU, Child Protection Unit, one day, maybe.
Yes.
Work towards something like that.
Because the different departments you can work towards.
Yeah.
Yep, in the police force, yep.
Yeah.
And so protecting our children out there, yep.
Yeah, I like kids. So
okay, good. All right, yeah.
Look after them.
And they need protecting. Yes, they do, you know. They are our future, and I sometimes think that there's kids out there having kids. Mm. One of the biggest problems out there, you know. And because we're talking about kids there, yeah, youth crime, that's still a big issue, isn't it, across the country, if not the world?
Yep.
Yeah, youth crime, and you guys can only operate within the rules and regulations, yeah, the law as we know it, you know.
And we need the right people in those roles as well, you know, like Bridie's a nice, gentle person.
Yeah, sure, exactly.
She's not going to scare the bejesus out of the kids, you know.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
You get me into a room, they run out the door.
This ugly sergeant came over me to grab my arm and talk to me, and I didn't want to talk to him.
So. And as an officer in charge, we're always trying to find the right fit as well and steer people off in the right direction in their careers, you know. So, yeah, Bridie do a great job in Child Protection Unit, without a doubt.
Good on you. Fantastic. Well, the statement goes, as a police officer, protect and serve, eh?
Mm.
And that's what you're there. You're in the public, and you're working for protecting the people in the public and servicing them, you know. And like I said, some people may have Barneys with the so-called boys and girls in blue, but when they're in trouble, who do they call? Triple O, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's about working together, isn't it?
You know? Yeah. And it's two ways. You know, we've got to build that trust with the community, whether someone's had a negative experience with police previously, sure. You know, they've always got to know, have that ability to trust us when they're in need. So just because someone's had a poor experience in the past doesn't mean they can't call and get good help.
I like to think that the government, the police, are doing their bit in regarding showcasing that action, good way action, protecting and serving. We've been talking cameras, for example, and we had a yarn about cameras on this program a couple of times now. I mean, that just shows what's going on, what has been said, and it's a two-way street there, you know, and if the individual is being rude or arrogant or swinging punches or whatever, there it is all online, yeah?
I know, yep.
But it protects the police officer if they're not doing right.
Exactly,
well,
yeah.
Two-way street.
Yeah, that's the go-to for us if there's a complaint. This is straight to the footage.
Sure.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, individuals can make a complaint. And what's the process in making a complaint?
Yeah, you can make a complaint. You can ring the police link number on 131 444.
Yeah.
You can go and see your local police station, ask to talk to the officer in charge.
And they'll take then your particulars and what they thought was being wrongdoing by towards them.
You can make your complaint straight to Ethical Standards Command, sure, or with a professional practice manager.
Then you, as a sergeant, you would investigate with that police officer, whoever it is, in regard to the complaint that just come through what have you.
Yep.
So there's an investigation going on there. Is that how it works?
That's how it works. Exactly right. Yep. So I'd go to their body camera footage normally first.
Yes.
And then any notes or anyone that they've worked with.
How long does that footage stay on the
it's
camera?
It's on permanently.
Yeah, sure. Mm. But if their footage, something happened a week ago, it's still there.
It's still there.
Do you download the camera, the videos to...
That's right. So they download
a folder on computer.
Well, and it downloads to a cloud, but that downloads as it's being charged. So
okay,
yeah,
all right,
yeah, no Beautiful. Charge.
So you
no
always
footage.
Got the image. So 3 weeks later, if we go back to that incident, there it is. You got the information.
Exactly.
There.
Yep.
Footage there.
And the technology is so good, Trevor. So the senior sergeant could also, say for example, if he had an officer in Brisbane, he could also look at that footage.
Oh, okay. You've been transferred up here now, and then you had an incident down there, need to look at that incident, see
yeah,
marry it up and see if it's...
The technology's just unreal.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we can live stream into that camera as well while it's being operated. So, yeah, they're a handy bit of kit.
Look, I do a bit of youth work, and I remember about 3 months ago, a couple of kids escaped from the residency, AWOL, what do you call, just jumped the fence and took off. And then we found them like a couple of hours later. And there were three cop cars, and what I watched was how the police officers engaged with these young ones, sat them down, talked to them nicely, and it was powerfully done. And they were doing that as I parked the car around the corner. We found out we were there, and we walked around. Then I introduced myself, a youth worker. These young fellas are staying at the resident where I was working. But the conversation was fantastic, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, the camera's on and what have you, but... They were talking to the kids, not at the kids, is
exactly.
what I'm saying. You
yep.
know what I mean? There was a relationship building there, and let them know that the youth work here to keep you safe, but can't keep you safe if you're not in the house.
Exactly.
So you need
yep.
to go back to the house and say, hey, I'm ready to take you guys. Let's go, boys. You know?
Yeah, yep.
And
yep.
it was a good night, but I was impressed.
Yeah.
I think it's also good that the Queensland Police have also got that partnership with the Youth Justice Co-Responder
yes.
team.
Yes, yes.
They're out there 24/7. They're working 10 Ps to 6 A's, so...
Well, it takes a community to raise a child. That's what
correct.
We're saying. It's a team effort, isn't it, across the board?
Mm.
Yeah. So we need more officers working in that department. There you go, Brody.
It's good out at Edmonton too. I mean, I haven't been out there for too long, so I'm still building relationships with the community, but you can build the relationships with the community there. Like
yeah.
you can get to know all the kids there.
Yes.
And have chats
well,
to
them. Well,
that's
the suburb. They live it there.
Yeah.
So let's get to know the officers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sort of stuff, you know.
It's nice out there like that.
Yeah, sure. And then you get to know the kid and what they're doing is bad, but let's not escalate it where they're going doing bigger crimes and burglary and stealing cars. We can stop them, prevent them from doing that, you know.
Work with them.
Have that relationship.
Yeah.
They're thinking to what you're saying. They're taken on board, you know.
Mm.
Fantastic. Well, great to see you all. Nice to meet you, Brody.
Nice to meet you. Thanks
good to
for
see you
me.
Back in town. Yep, and good to have you back in town.
Yes, very Senior good to be back Glenn in town.
Guy. PLO, we'll be yarning soon.
Yep.
And all the best to all the guys there, guys and girls, out at Edmonton.
Thank you.
Greatest station in North Queensland.
There you go. Represent. All right, guys, take care.
Thank you.
All the best.
See you, mate.
Yep, the greatest police station in Queensland was the statement there. That's by Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay. Bridie Egan, second year constable, good yarning with her. And also brother man here, Steve Brandt, PLO, police liaison officer, something like 18, 19 years. Yeah, you can pay for lunch. Sam, fantastic. Have you saying yarn up strong? About 15 minutes left on the program here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, going to catch up and have a yarn with Diddley's sister, Kate Gain, and just talk about her journey with the vision to become a fashion designer and how crossroads, we come to crossroads in our lives and things do change and then we look up and then we go around the corner and there's a different pathway. And we're just going to talk about Kate's journey and what she's doing now. On the line, Kate, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, sister, for coming to the program. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Kate?
Yes, so I was born and grew up in Cairns.
Yes.
But I'm a proud Torres Strait Islander woman and I have family that descended from the Wagadagum tribe in Yam Island.
All right, fantastic. And where are you now and what are you doing now? And tell us how visions do change.
Yes, I'm currently based in Brisbane, so I moved from home in Cairns to study in Brisbane. And all through high school, all through growing up, I wanted to do fashion designing. That was what I wanted to do. And it wasn't until my very last week of high school that I changed my mind.
And you're allowed to do that, yes.
Yes. Yeah, and it happens, and I think it happens to quite a few people. And, yeah, so I, yeah, took a very steep turn towards the allied health sector. So now I'm studying speech pathology.
Speech pathology. Now, I'm breaking my tongue here. Yeah. Rolling your teeth in for somebody else, but yeah, speech pathology. How long is this? Have you completed it, or are you in the middle of it, or were you out with it?
Yes, so I'm actually in my very final year, my fourth year of speech pathology.
Okay.
Yes.
Fantastic. And so tell us why speech pathology away from fashion design.
Yes. So going through high school, my younger brother at the time had a speech pathologist within the school that helped him with some social communication. So while we were both at school, I got to kind of see what she did as part of her job and kind of took a little bit of an interest to it and did some research, and it turned out to be something that I really wanted to do. So that's why I changed my mind and headed down the speech pathology path. And I think while watching her, I kind of got a very small glimpse of what speech pathologists do.
Yes.
And it wasn't until I got into uni that I realized that there's so many different areas that you can go with a degree of speech pathology. So at the time I kind of just thought it was working around that communication area, and I get a lot of questions if I work with stutters, and I guess that's kind of the ideal that people think of speech pathology as. But like I said, as soon as I got into university, I realised that that's not the case. There's so many different areas that you can go into.
Well, give us a description of a speech pathologist, please, sister.
Yes. So I like to think of it as there's like seven different what we call range of practice areas. So the first one being speech, which I guess a lot of people would know of thinking speech pathology. So that's working with being able to say the sounds correctly and putting sounds together to while you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
The next area would be language. So that would be putting words together into sentences, and it focuses a lot on grammatical structuring. So for kids that might be in primary school having a little bit of trouble with their grammar and while they're talking, so speech pathologists can give them a little boost with that. Sure. And for the more adult population, for an example, it could be if an adult has a brain injury, they might have trouble being able to get the words from their brain to their mouth and say them properly.
Okay, yes.
So that would be that language area. The next one would be hearing. So we kind of know that ear health is very important, especially you find that First Nations population can have some troubles with their hearing as well. So this one comes up a lot.
Yes.
And hearing and speech are very interrelated. So we often find that people who have troubles hearing also have trouble with their talking as well. So that would be another area. The fourth area then being fluency. So that's kind of what we think of when we say stuttering. So if it doesn't just have to be kids. Adults can have stutters too. So that would be the next one. And the next one for after fluency would be voice. So that would be working with people who have voice changes. That might be professional singers. That might need voice therapy, or people with head and neck cancers, they might also need surgery around their vocal folds, so that would all come under voice. Then there's what we call multimodal communication, and this one is quite interesting because it is helping people who might have trouble talking or who can't talk at all, so that can use devices or picture books to help get their message across. And with this one, you kind of associate it a little bit with sign language. So some people need sign language to help them talk, and that would kind of come under this area.
Mm.
And the very last one, but also very important, is swallowing. So this is the one that I myself didn't know come under speech pathology, but we kind of know that the muscles that we use for talking, we also use for swallowing and feeding.
Mm.
So people who might have trouble with swallowing, say after a stroke or something, speech pathologists can help find the safest way for them to swallow. So that's kind of a very big
description.
of what speech pathologists do. And, it's a lot more than just helping you talk.
Look, a very important profession. And thank you very much, Sister Kate, in regarding you becoming a speech pathologist. You would be one of the first First Nation speech pathologists in this country, would you not?
Oh, I'm not too sure about that.
I would think so.
Yeah, I know it's a very a small degree. There's not very many people in my cohort that I know of that are from First Nations background. So,
And you didn't take up that study to receive that platform or that banner, so to speak, as the first First Nation speech pathologist. But the fact that you may be, then that's a good thing too. That's powerful. And to all our mob out there, we can be and do whatever we want to do.
There's definitely the possibility, yeah.
And tell us about your family, your background in regarding you becoming a speech pathologist. Your family, anyone study university degree or what a profession? Or were you the first to go to uni from your family?
I was the first within my immediate family.
Yes.
But after I went to university, my little brother soon followed, so he's just started university as well.
What's he studying?
He's studying information technology, so around that IT kind of.
Yeah, beautiful.
So
to communicate with your brother, you've got to flick him an email, sister.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, it's a beautiful story. Thank you very much for sharing. Congratulations. From fashion designer to speech pathologist. Too deadly. Thank you. And when you look at it, communication is the key. And we need to communicate. And so when we talk about speech pathologists and the importance of a speech pathologist, it's so very, very important. And congratulations and representing your people, but representing Kate Gain. And that's what you're doing, sis.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. All the best. You keep smiling. And we'll talk soon, sister.
No worries. Thank you so much.
Take care, Kate. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there. Kate Gain, her name is. A proud Torres Strait Island woman, and in her last final year as a speech pathologist, and was looking at fashion designer, but her changed looking around, and there it is. And to everybody out there, you got to leave high school, go to university, study your field. I mean, a year into it, if it's not your cup of tea, change, you're not a tree. But that's what it's all about. We come to crossroads in our lives. Do I go and live in Sydney? Do I stay in Darwin? Or whatever the case may be, you know. Do I pick up a guitar, play a musical instrument? Or do I go to university, study something? It's all about decision, choices. Enjoy your choices and create your world. That's what it's all about. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Too deadly.